This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Ellison's next IPO.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Larry Ellison earned his billions by making Oracle a leader in business software. Now he is poised to get even richer from a startup called NetSuite. NetSuite makes software to help small businesses with accounting and customer tracking. Ellison owns 74% of the company. Yesterday, NetSuite filed for an initial public offering that could raise $75 million. More money has been raised in IPOs this year since the heady days of the tech boom. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The Dow Jones Venture One report says 22 companies raised $2.73 billion in IPOs. That's the highest quarterly IPO total since 2000. Valerie Fu at Dow Jones Venture One says two sectors stood out.
So far in the second quarter, healthcare and IT are kind of carrying the bulk here of the 22 transactions.
Steve Nelson is with the VC firm Wakefield Group. He prefers to review IPO results over a three-year period instead of looking to quarterly reports. But long-term, he's cautiously optimistic about the IPO outlook.
Good news, but no cause yet for absolute jumping and jubilation.
The report also found that mergers and acquisitions dipped to their lowest quarterly level since 2003, a signal that venture capitalists may be shifting the way they get their money out of companies they've invested in. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Wall Street kicked off the third quarter with a bang. The major averages were each up 1%. The stock market got a boost from strong news on manufacturing. We had the Dow rallying 127 points to 13,535. The S&P picked up 16 to 1,519, while the NASDAQ composite added 29 points to 2,632. The market closes 3 hours early today to get a jump on the Independence Day holiday. Analysts are expecting trading to be light through the end of the week. Overnight shares in Asia were up, and the major markets in Europe are higher as well at this hour. Shares in the French food company Danone are up more than 8% this morning. The company has got a deal to sell its biscuit and cereal biz to Kraft for $7.2 billion. The sale is expected to close by the end of the year. Danone wants to focus on its worldwide yogurt biz. Certainly has been a lot of volatility in the stock market lately, and the key to understanding it may be econophysics. That's where physics is used to solve problems in economics. This week, physicists and economics are meeting in Lisbon to discuss its usefulness, as Jeff Brumfield reports.
When most people hear that sound, they think of individual traders buying and selling stocks, but not Boston University physicist Gene Stanley. He thinks of data.
You can imagine the total number of transactions that takes place in even one market like the New York Stock Exchange per hour, and then multiply that by the number of hours in a day and days in a week and weeks in a month and months in a year and so forth, you get a staggering amount of data.
Now, physicists like Stanley love data. It's not uncommon for them to gather information on, say, trillions of colliding particles. And once they get their data, they start looking for things.
We try to extract from a mass of data some sort of regularity, some sort of pattern that is valid.
Economists do similar things, but not on the same scale that physicists can. About a decade ago, Stanley combed through mountains of trades over a span of years to find patterns in world markets. He turned up a new statistical way to describe not just little market fluctuations, but the rare big correction. Now, he couldn't predict when or where exactly a crash would occur, but he could help people better understand how to spread their investment portfolio risk. And that impressed Princeton economist Jose Schenkman.
They brought the way the physicists analyze data, which is an interesting way, an important way, but mixed that with what economists know about how markets work.
But physicists have also made missteps, like coming up with rules to predict the next big crash. Those efforts have, for the most part, flopped. Schenkman says he thinks this is because markets are driven by people who are, well, unpredictable.
The main flop is just trying to fit data to kind of equations without thinking that that data was being generated by the action of human beings.
This week's conference in Lisbon may help. Economists and physicists will talk about how people drive markets. And of course, there will be plenty of port wine on hand. That can help even the most predictable physicist become a little more erratic. In Washington, I'm Jeff Brumfiel for Marketplace.
Light trucks may be big, but they may not be the safest bet in a rear-end crash. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety found seat and head restraints in most vehicles don't rate too well. Subaru and Volvo were among the best performers in the SUV category. Hyundai and Ford minivans ranked well. And the new Toyota Tundra was the only pickup rated good for rear crash protection.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
Some bills just don't die in Washington. Business interests are already trying to resurrect parts of the comprehensive immigration bill defeated last week in the Senate. Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports.
Businesses say they can live without the immigration bill's increased border security and path to citizenship for the nation's 12 million undocumented immigrants. But Angelo Amador with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says some parts of the bill are too important to give up on.
At the very least, we think there should be temporary fixes for another year or two until we get comprehensive immigration reform and everything back on the board.
The technology industry is now pushing Congress to triple the number of H-1B visas for skilled foreign workers to 195,000 a year. The agricultural lobby wants to streamline the guest worker program. Amador says increasing raids on businesses along with a growing patchwork of state laws are harming U.S. competitiveness. But with only about 13% of the public in favor of the wide-ranging proposal defeated last week, reviving the debate may not be so easy. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for joining us. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.